Phoenix FM, it's Steve Robertson, and I'm joined here by Helen Callahan, Sunday Times best-selling author, Helen Callahan. We've spoken previously.
Yeah.
You were down in the studio then.
I was.
Before all this social distancing and everything.
Indeed.
and instead, yeah, we're not recording at the studio at the moment.
No.
But no, it's good to be able to meet up with you just prior to the release of your new book. So this is your third novel.
This is my third one, yes. This is Nightfall Still Missing, and it's out on Thursday.
Wow. So Thursday the 23rd of July.
That's the one.
For anyone listening online, listening afterwards, whatever. But that means that it's available on all platforms from then.
Yes, yeah? It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, and we've come a long way, really, haven't we, in terms of the first two books you were saying before, they were sort of in you anyway.
Yes.
Whereas this third book, you were writing after getting your book deal and becoming...
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. So it's the book set in Orkney, and which is somewhere that I'd been going for writing retreats for years. And I'd been thinking for a long time, I thought it would be a really wonderful place to set a novel. And but I never really had a story to go along with it. And then it was just sort of like over the last few years, I thought, yeah, because like, you know, there's such fantastic archaeology up there and all the rest of it. And I had like this sense of, I had like an archaeology story that had been knocking it back in the back of my head for like some time that was set somewhere else. And I forget what it was. It was just like a couple of years ago. And I thought, yeah, these two things belong together.
Mm.
So that is what happened.
Wow. And it's been strange in terms of the time to release a book as well, isn't it?
I mean, very.
It would have come out before, would it?
It would have. It was meant to come out in the spring and then it was delayed. And then it was a bit scary, actually, because then lockdown happened and all the bookshops shut.
Mm.
So, and there was like kind of like a bit of panic, you know what I mean, amongst booksellers, amongst publishers, like, you know, what are we going to do? Are people going to read? And as it turns out, reading was really buoyant. More people are reading than ever. So I was reading in the bookseller. It's like 19% up on last year.
It's like more people
sales.
Listening to the radio. They might not be listening in cars. Like, people aren't reading on trains, but they are doing it at home, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And it's great. People are engaging in culture in that way. It's... you know, it's quite heartening, really, because that's what people do when they have time to do it.
Mm. And escapism, you can lose yourself in a book, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I lost myself in writing it, certainly, because I love the location so much, and it was an opportunity to go up there and spend time there, and, you know, and think about the possibilities for there, because the story's about... so basically, the story's about a girl, well, a young woman. Her best friend is digging. She's an archaeologist, and the main character, Fiona, is a lecturer. And her friend, Madison, says, look, I need to talk to you. There's something I need to consult with you about. I'm really frightened. And so Fiona drops everything and goes running up to Orkney. And when she gets to Orkney, Madison's gone and her cottage is cleaned out and she's freaking out. But then as she asks around, she finds that Madison has been telling a lot of lies about what she's doing, you know, where she's been. Like, she's been telling people she's sick when she's not. And so as a result, Fiona doesn't really... And, you know, they've always had this difficult relationship, so Fiona doesn't really know what to believe. So she has to choose to believe in Madison or not. And that's kind of, and to find her, and that's kind of what the book's about.
Wow.
She has to dig up that evidence, that archaeological evidence about almost their relationship, do that emotional work to find out where she is. And, you know, Madison has a lot of problems. She's got a stalker ex-boyfriend, but also she has problems on the archaeological dig. And, yeah, I won't say too much more, but,
So your research, really, in terms of Orkney archaeology, there's been quite a bit of time put into it, I can imagine.
There was. Well, it started because this was actually what I did, archaeology at university. So I'd always been really, really, I was a mature student, so I was always really interested in it. And the thing about Orkney was it had fantastic archaeology. It's one of the, when you go there, they have like amazing Norse, they have amazing prehistoric archaeology, they have, you know what I mean, Maze Howe and stone circles and everything you could possibly want. And actually, when I learned to drive, one of the first things I did, because I learned to drive, I was in my 30s, I thought, right, well, I'm going to go to Orkney. So I got my Renault 5, which is what I had at the time, and I headed up there, and I stayed there for about 4 or 5 days in the summer, which is a weird time to stay because the sun doesn't really set. No. It just kind of, you're so far north, so it's all kind of like, and it was all like kind of, it was just wonderful. Yeah. And then a few years ago, I thought it would be a great place to, I was writing another book, and I thought it'd be a great place to write, so I went up in the winter. And it's a very different place in the winter, but much easier to write in because you have this sort of set of daylight. You have like 5 or 6 hours of proper daylight. So you go out and you walk and you take in the fresh air, which can be very fresh. And it has the most beautiful scenery. It's this rocky kind of, you know, cliffs, and you do all that. And then you would come home and then have the cozy warm evening where you wrote. And I found that phenomenally productive. So I did that for quite a few years, and I'm still hoping to get down there this year. And because I had to miss last year and then lockdown. Anyway, yes. But it was while I was there, I thought, actually, you know what I mean? The fact that it's so this thing between this kind of cozy, warm inside and then this kind of like wild, almost primordial outside, especially in the winter with the sea, would be actually a really great. That is a danger in and of itself. That'd be a really great place to set a novel.
It's amazing. There are more novels that are set up there when you think.
Yeah, well, but I wanted to make it a series, sort of like, you know.
Yeah.
It's, I'd like to hear more about what happens on Orkney, but at the moment there's just this one.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, from a publicity point of view, when you were writing it, when you were getting ready for the launch date initially. Yeah. You must have felt you'd be going to book clubs, you'd be doing...
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be different in terms of how you publicise it.
Absolutely. And nobody knew what to do because it was in that first wave. And so the plan was, in the lead up to the book coming out, I was going to go up to Scotland and I was going to go up to Orkney. I was going to talk to people in Orkney. I was gonna, and, you know, and travel about and give the proof out and, you know... And of course, you couldn't do any of that because it was like total lockdown, which was more strictly observed in Scotland.
Yeah.
So we were all like, so I'm there, you know, on the phone to my editor. It's like, well, what are you going to do? Says, well, we're going to do what other people are doing and we're going to get more involved in Zoom and remote events. So I was in talk with libraries about remote events. And this is a new normal because I understand there isn't going to be a lot of bookshops are not going to have any events now between now and the end of the year.
Yes.
So it was really sad I couldn't get out and do that again. But, you know, it's like it's safety first, I guess. So.
And if you're writing a book, it's a productive time as well. So does that mean you're thinking more about the next 1-2 books going forward?
Well, I actually, it's really interesting. So I just got back from a research trip when all the hotels opened. I went to Cornwall for book 4, which is set in Cornwall. And you would think actually, because I sit in the house and write all day anyway, that's kind of my day job. You would think the lockdown would have been like a productive time, but it wasn't particularly. It's stressful. It's weird. The other thing that happens is because the book that I'm writing now was set in Cornwall around a kind of like a touristy fishing village, am I writing about something that is going to like vanish out of history now? Are we, you know, how are we going to do all those kind of things, you know, like with all the pubs shut and all the rest of it? And you mean the book, you know, the one that is going to be coming out next year is all about the diving school and, you know, and pubs and hotels and being on holiday and, you know, is this even relevant? So it actually, I would say it was actually more of a hindrance than a help.
Yes. And getting into any routine, I mean, I think anyone who's never worked from home before and suddenly expected to work from home for the first time. It's strange because when you look back the past few months, what we take for granted now and what was happening from day one, it's completely changed, hasn't it?
It's very strange. And I also think when you're forced to work from, when you're forced into that kind of like that hermetically sealed environment, I think that's stressful. Mm-hmm. But I also think was that when I worked from home and was fairly hermetically sealed anyway, was that I was always able to break that up by, you know what I mean, saying, right, you've been indoors long enough, you need to see friends, you need to see family, you need to get out, you need to take the air, you need to do these things. And then all of a sudden that's off the table.
Mm.
So it becomes more of a pressure cooker than it does before. And I mean, like, I'm quite a, I wouldn't say I was necessarily sort of like some kind of mad introvert. You know, I can bear my own company for a while, but when I can no longer bear it, it's really hard to, I'm sick of Zoom.
And I think everyone can relate to that, can't they? Because the novelty of something wears off and then
you think,
well, I can't just go down the pub. No. I can't just go to the cinema, see a band.
Yeah.
Things that you just thought you'd always take for granted.
Spend an evening with friends.
Yeah.
You know, there's something very, because I find like, I mean, there's apps people use and they are important because people have been able to keep working through them. But your Zoom and your Skype, but I personally find them quite performative.
Mm.
You don't get the real me.
You're not seeing 3D, 360 degrees. You're looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're looking at this sort of like this tiny image of, and I think that they say that 90%, 95% of all communication is nonverbal.
Mm.
I don't think that those videos and things are very good at that. But then on the other hand, you know, you got to stay safe. So
yes,
you just kind of, you're stuck with it really.
And sometimes it's quite refreshing even to take a step back further and just pick up the phone, isn't it?
It is.
Strange thing.
Well, after the first couple of weeks the Zoom was out of the window, I was like, you know what I mean? Can I ring you?
Yeah.
Sort of like, yeah, ring me. It's like, you don't want a video? No.
But I mean, you know, coming back to this book, so this is the third one. We've spoken previously about film rights, potentially looking ahead to new books, etc. It's strange when you think with the world that it is now, I mean, you almost think, well, how many films are going to be produced? How many, you know, what's the demand going to be? Certainly audiobook, which we've spoken about before. And does the audiobook come out the same time?
Same day.
Wow.
Same day. I've not heard it yet. No. I believe it's been recorded, though. So this is the other thing about lockdown is that last time it happened, I went and I got to see a morning of, I think it was Anna Popplewell recording it.
Yeah.
It was Anna Popplewell. I'm sort of like, you know. And that was so amazing to see someone else performing your work. And, you know, and she was so good. And and this time you don't get to do that anymore. So,
no.
Like, there won't be a launch party for it, which is quite sad. There might be cocktails on Zoom, apparently. We'll see. Yeah. But it's...
However that works.
I think, you know, I mean, we'll be mixing our own. But it's very, everyone's had to sort of, you know, find creative new ways of working. And, you know, the publishers are like, they're really good. They're all over it. It's like, well, let's do this and let's do that. And why don't we have an event? So I've got, there is an online launch event for the public, which is happening at Heifers. But it's going to, like I say, it's going to be virtual and I'm going to be in conversation. It's August 4th, I think, and I'm in conversation with Kate Rhodes, who's also, she has a series of, I think it's the Isle of Scilly. Her series is set on the Isle of Scilly out by Cornwall, which is where I got back from. And, but, you know, normally we'd be in a bookshop talking. So
yes.
It's very strange.
And even in terms of the audio book, you'd one way or another found out more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like you say, you were able to see a book being recorded. So the audio book itself, as you say, coming out the same time as the book. So that will be on Audible and all the usual platforms, will it?
From absolutely, yes. So nothing, because this came out after lockdown, none of the normal ways of distributing it are affected. It's going to be out in bookshops and Amazon and downloadable and all of the... It's so exciting, actually.
And you can imagine the take-up of certainly... Kindles, etc.
Yeah.
Any ebook reader has probably shot up as well. So people aren't necessarily going to go to a bookshop to buy the book, are they? Anyway, it's the online. Well, if someone wants to, they can order it immediately, can't they?
Oh, well, I speak as someone like I always have like a book on my phone because you never know when you're going to be stood. You know, you're doing your socially distant queuing and whatever sort of. So I read through that.
Yeah.
Any time that I am stuck in a place I don't want to be and I have access to my phone, I'm reading. So, But they are, like I say, as they are saying that sort of print books are going up as well. People are engaging more with reading. And you were saying earlier about the fact that people aren't going, the cinemas are opening again, but it's going to be, what is going to, I mean, and there's been a debate for a while about what the future of cinema is. Mm. But people are still consuming that stuff at home, you know, in a phenomenal way. Yes. So fingers crossed that, you know, maybe one day.
Yes.
Who knows?
And people are after more online content, and that's something else that's just climbing, isn't it?
We're all more engaged, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's like, to a certain extent, I feel like it's not obviously for key workers, because I have friends and they have been busier than ever, you know, and it's scary too, really scary work, but people that have worked in offices and so forth that have, you know, been finding, like, you know, new ways to manage at home, you know, you're just consuming more content.
And it is strange because, as I say, on a commute, you might think, yes, I'll read a book.
Yeah.
But the fact that people are reading more and more now and people aren't commuting anywhere near as much says something, doesn't it?
It does. And I think it was a shock to everyone involved that it would pan out that way.
Yeah.
And, well, not to me, obviously, because I read all the time. I love it. But, they were worried that, you know, will people pick up reading the same way?
And yes.
Clearly they have. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not going anywhere soon.
So the book itself coming out on the 23rd of July.
Yes.
And really looking forward to that. And the future plans for yourself, then you're the fourth book.
Yeah.
How are things with that?
It's so the fourth book is going to be set in Cornwall, and I literally just got back last week from a trip to Cornwall when the lockdown ended. It was quite scary, actually, because like you think sort of like, oh, I've been, you know, it's I've been desperate to go and properly work again and behave, but you don't actually realise how much you've you know, so much of this is going on subconsciously. It was actually kind of stressful and a bit strange.
Yes.
Though Cornwall was very beautiful and I got a lot done. And so it was like, it was interesting. It was looking at shipwrecks and the manacles, the rocks and manacles, because it's set around a dive school that dives a wreck. So I wanted to see the manacles. I wanted to see where the, you know, the fish and where the lifeboats are. It was amazing, actually, because a lot of those shipwrecks, the horrific thing about them was not that, you know, because people tell stories about wreckers, and as far as I know, no story about actual deliberate wrecking has ever been confirmed, you know, with that tying lights to donkeys and things.
Yes.
But just the sheer physical, the way that it is enough to cause, like, there's 100 shipwrecks on the Manacle Rocks and 1,000 lives lost. Mm. And scary thing about it is that those people are dying within, like, 100, 200 metres of the shore.
Mm.
They can see it, but they can't reach it.
No.
And so that was very, never something I'd never thought about, really, about shipwrecks, was how it's only when you actually go there and look at the places where they happen and you read the accounts, you get a sense of the immediacy of them. So that was a really, it was very, very interesting to look at. And also, you know, is that dark tourism when you go to a diving school and you're diving those wrecks, their graves, you know?
Mm.
So all of that was really interesting to think about. So, yeah, it's good to be on a new one.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, anyone who wants to find out more, they've only got to look for Nightfall Still Missing in terms of the most recent book. But there's Dear Amy, there's Everything Is Lies.
Yeah, they're still out there.
And they are still out there. And if people want to find out more, you're online, aren't you, in terms of Twitter?
I am. I've got a blog, I've got a Twitter account, I've got a Facebook account. I'm trying to stay on top of them all.
But if anyone looks for Helen Callahan, they'll be able to find you.
They will.
Lovely. Look, thank you very much for talking to us. And
my pleasure.
Certainly, we should be talking in about a year again.
Yeah. I'll be the same again with the new one. Oh, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Lovely. Thanks, Helen.
Cheers.
Thank you.